This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, Bernie Sanders last time around won 40, in the primary, won 46% of the pledged delegates. People said that was impossible. He got more than a million individual donations, an average of $27, famously. I mean, the accomplishments, he completely changed the dialogue around the Democratic Party and what's possible in America. The guy who did it all, Bernie Sanders, has announced this morning he's running for president. And Bernie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, great to be with you, Tom.
It is so great to have you here, and it's so great to hear that you are officially running for president. Tell us about it. What you know, there are so many issues that you literally have been the guy who was at the lead of, you know, whether it's Medicare for all or the $15 minimum wage or breaking up the big banks or free tuition or lowering drug prices, all the work that you've done over the years for veterans. Where do you start?
Well, I think we start where we left off, and I think you raised the right point. As a result of millions of people standing up and fighting back, we have changed the definition of what is possible in the United States of America. And as a result, I think, of the 2016 campaign, people are saying, you know what, every other major country on earth has health care as a right, not a privilege. Why can't we? Countries around the world provide free tuition at their public colleges and universities. Why can't we? Countries around the world pay their workers a decent wage. Why can't we? And also, what is even more significant now is the understanding that we have got to be extremely aggressive in dealing with the global crisis of climate change. And that's an issue we're going to be talking a whole lot about, because from a existential perspective, if we do not transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy, and by the way, when you do that, you can create millions of good-paying jobs. If we do not do that, we're going to be leaving our kids and our grandchildren, and I have seven grandchildren, a planet that is increasingly unhealthy and uninhabitable. So, Tom, those, you know, certainly are some of the issues out there, criminal justice, immigration reform, but the other obvious issue is the need to deal with the most dangerous president in certainly the modern history of this country. And it gives me no pleasure to tell the listeners what they already know, that Trump is a pathological liar. It doesn't matter what he says today, because he'll say something different tomorrow. He is a racist. He is a sexist. He is a xenophobe. He is a religious bigot. And, you know, it honestly gives me no pleasure to talk about a president of the United States in those words. But that is the simple truth, and Trump must be defeated. And I believe, after a lot of thought, that I am the strongest candidate to defeat Trump. I think we can win in states that Hillary Clinton lost, states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, other states. And the third point that I would make, Tom, about maybe what makes our campaign a little bit unique, is it is one thing to talk about health care for all. It's another thing to talk about raising the minimum wage or the need to transform our energy system. But what I believe from the bottom of my heart, and you have heard me talk about this for many years on this show, is that the powers that be, the special interests in the fossil fuel industry, on Wall Street, the military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industry, all of these special interests are so powerful that the only way they can be defeated is through an unprecedented grassroots movement of millions of people who are standing up and fighting back. So it's not just ideas. Ideas are important, but we need to mobilize people. And today, what we are asking of people, you know, we're asking people to contribute money. That's great. But more importantly, we are asking 1 million people in the next week or so to sign up and work on this campaign, to put together an unprecedented, historic grassroots campaign, which not only will win the Democratic nomination, not only wins the general election, but also begins the process of transforming American society so that we have a government that works for all of us and not just a few.
Yeah, this is the second part is the really big challenge. I mean, Franklin Roosevelt became president, and then in 1936, when he was running for re-election, he was coming right out and saying, "They never before have the forces of greed hated such a candidate as much as they hate me, and I welcome their hatred." That pulling together of a coalition, pulling together the people of the country, is really going to be the biggest job of the next president, assuming that you know, and of Congress and everything else. How do we most effectively do this?
Well, here's what we do. You know, what Trump does is what demagogues historically have done. I don't want to give him too much credit. He did not develop this strategy. It's what demagogues have done for a long time. You represent the wealthy and the powerful, and you do that by dividing people up, often picking on minorities. That's kind of the history of this stuff. And our job is to do exactly the opposite. It's to bring blacks and whites and Latinos, Native Americans, Asian Americans, women, men, gay, straight, native-born, immigrant. We bring our people together, and we demand a government which starts working for all of us and not just wealthy campaign contributors. So we have a fight in front of us to transform our economic and political life, to create a democracy of one person, one vote, not the Koch brothers and other billionaires buying elections, not voter suppression, not excessive gerrymandering, to create an economy which does not allow three people, and this is really unbelievable, and very few people talk about it. We got today, Tom, you got three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of America. You got the top 1% owning more wealth than the bottom 90%. You got 46% of all new income going to the top 1%. And you got a billionaire class that says, oh, hey, that's not enough. I need massive tax breaks. Let's cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. You know, it is really out of control. So we need to mobilize the American people around an agenda which people already support. And, you know, I hope that we can even reach out to some of Trump's supporters who now understand that he lied to them, as he often does. He told them that he would protect working families, and then he proceeds to try to throw 32 million people off of the health insurance they have. That's not protecting working families. He comes up with a budget after campaigning on saying, I'm not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He has a budget last year, $1 trillion cut in Medicaid, $500 billion in Medicare, $72 billion in Social Security. He lied. So, you know, we got a lot of work in front of us. But to answer your question, our challenge is to bring people together around a progressive agenda, an agenda that in many ways is supported by the vast majority of the American people, defeat Trump, and then roll up our sleeves and take on the big money interests who exert so much influence over our economic and political life.
Amen. And last question, though, if people go to, I'm assuming it's BernieSanders.com is your
yes,
campaign website.
Correct.
So if people go to the website and they say, yes, I'd like to be one of those million people, what is the range of kinds of help that people can offer? What sorts of things?
That's a great question, and I hope everybody understands this. Look, we know that there are some people, you know, have three kids and they're working full time. They don't have a whole lot of time. We will take whatever you can give. If it's an hour a week, 2 hours a week, 2 hours a month, that's great. If you have more time, that's great. So yes, we would love, you know, small campaign donations, but more important at this stage is to do what has never been done. Can you imagine, Tom, if in a couple of weeks we can announce that we have a million people who are prepared to work hard on this campaign? Wow, if we can do that, I think there is no stopping us.
Yeah, amen. Well said. Well, Senator Sanders, I wish you the very best. I am so pleased that you are in this race, and BernieSanders.com is the website, obviously. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for all the great work that you do.
It has been
in terms of being one of the great progressive voices on radio. So keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, Bernie. And thank you so much for being a part of this show for so many years and for being on our show today. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls right after this. And welcome back, Jesse in Miami. Hey, Jesse, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's on your mind today?
Hey, hi, Tom. Congratulations to Bernie. He should have been president today. And I hope, you know, once you do become president, you get the job as a treasurer or the FCC or something like that. So, hey, but the question is socialism. Mm-hmm. Mr. Trump is making a big deal about eliminating socialism, keeping it from America. If that's his idea, he might as well just get rid of government, because government is socialism.
To a large extent, yeah. Yeah, in fact, we have a debate scheduled with a conservative for the beginning of the next hour, and who's saying the Green New Deal is, you know, creeping communism, blah de blah de blah. And I guess my first question, if he shows up, I'm getting a sense he's going to wimp out and be afraid to show up. But if he shows up, my first question will be, okay, if you want to get rid of socialism in America, where do you want to start? Do you want to do away with Social Security? Do you want to do away with the fire department? Do you want to do away with public roads? I mean, what is it? Where do we start?
And just start with government, because government is social, and people are by nature social. But you're going to throw all of that out the window, it's going to be jungle, dog eat dog.
Yeah, 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 spot on. You're absolutely right, Jesse. You're absolutely right. And that's the, you know, it's going to be a big one. Jesse, thanks a lot for the call. You always cut right to the heart of things here. Bernie Sanders, just a recap. I think that whether you like Bernie or you don't, right? And I know that there are a bunch of people out there who actively dislike Bernie Sanders, right? I get that. I see them on MSNBC. I read them over at Democratic Underground. People who, oh, Bernie bros, or oh, Bernie doesn't get race, or Bernie doesn't, you know, get women, or, you know, fill in the blanks, right? Hate on him all you want. But the simple reality is, 5 years ago, literally 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago at the most, because, you know, going into the primary, the 2016 election. Maybe not even that far back. No Democrat, or very few Democrats. I mean, you had the, you know, Dennis Kucinich, right? Everybody, oh, Dennis Kucinich, they're part of the peace, UFOs, oh yeah, and people made fun of him, right? No Democrat was willing to step up and say, you know, every country in the world, every developed country in the world has healthcare for everybody except us. What's wrong with us? Every developed country in the world has free college education. What's wrong with us? Every country in the world has, you know, decent wages, and the average rate of unionization across European countries is between 80 and 90%, and we're at 6%. What's wrong with us? Democrats were afraid to talk like that. They were just like, they were bound into this old, you know, the third way, the new Democrats, the Tony Blair, Bill Clinton thing from 1992, from literally 30 years ago, this idea that, oh, we've got to become a little more Republican or something. And Bernie stepped up, and no, he didn't win the primary, and I really am not going to revisit those wars, but he changed the conversation in this country, at least within the Democratic Party. I think he changed the conversation right across the board. And that's a big deal. That, no matter what happens from this point out, that's a big deal. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. This is historic. You know, whether Bernie wins or not, this time Bernie is up against, I mean, last time it was Bernie versus Hillary. And you know, we need not revisit that. But there were clear differences between the two. This time, Bernie's got some people running as Democrats. Actually one in particular, Elizabeth Warren, and others who are picking up other pieces of his platform. But, you know, this time around, it's not just going to be, you know, Bernie, you know, it's not going to be one of these binary choices. But that said, what's truly historic about Bernie Sanders and what he has done up to this point. And, you know, we'll see how this, you know, if he can pull together a million people over the next couple of weeks to say, yes, I'll give an hour to your campaign, or here's 27 bucks or whatever. You know, we'll see how that shakes out. We'll see how much juice he still has. I think it's considerable. I think it's huge. But we'll find out, right? I mean, you know, it's all going to be out there. But, you know, that's like going forward. But the thing that is so astonishing to me, and I alluded to this sort of, you know, in the beginning when I was, you know, when Bernie first called in and I was setting up the interview. And I want to go a little deeper, is that, I mean, just a couple of years ago, you were hearing things like, oh, yes, we're all about hope, we're all about change, we're all about, you know, I'm with her. I mean, so, yeah, some of these slogans, but they didn't have the depth of policy associated with them that Bernie brought into the race a couple of years ago. Quote, normal Main Street stream Democrats were unwilling to endorse, for example, Medicare for All. In fact, I remember Bernie was on this show for, you know, as you'll recall, every single Friday for 11 years. And over and over and over again, Bernie would be supporting John Conyers' bill, H.R. 676, or he started talking about Medicare for All. When he joined the Senate, and this was, I think, 5 years ago, thereabouts, and he was on this show when this happened, he introduced a piece of legislation that was a Medicare for All bill, right? The whole enchilada, right? Here it is, Medicare for All. You know how many Democrats co-sponsored that legislation in the United States Senate with him? Zero. It was Bernie all alone. It never got to committee, it never got a vote, nothing. Because no other Democrats were willing to say, oh, Medicare for All, that makes sense. Works in Canada. It'll save us $10 trillion over the course of the next decade. No Democrat was willing to say that. Bernie was talking about how every American should be able to go to college or trade school for free. Because we know, you know, this isn't an expense, it's an investment. We know that from our experience with the GI Bill. That for every dollar we invest in educating young people, at the college level or trade school level, we make back over the course of their lifetimes seven additional dollars we wouldn't have had, we being the federal government, in increased tax revenue because they're earning more, because they're educated now. This is a no-brainer. And yet 4 or 5 years ago when Bernie was talking about everybody in America having the right to have a free college education and how it wouldn't be an expense, I mean, it would be an investment that will pay a larger return than the cost of the investment. Same with healthcare, by the way. You got a healthier country, you got more productive workers, you have lower mortality costs, you have lower healthcare costs, you have a more productive workforce. I mean, there's a reason why of the 34 OECD countries, 33 of them have national healthcare systems. There's a reason why of the 34 OECD countries, 31 of them have free college education. These are simple, I mean, this is just like, not even rocket science. This is just common friggin' sense. And yet 5 years ago, there wasn't a single Democrat who would say, yes, I'm in favor of these things. And that has all changed now because of Bernie's historic candidacy. Breaking up the big banks. Nobody was willing to talk about that out loud. Free tuition at public colleges. Lowering drug prices. Yeah, that would get some lip service, but then people would say, but we can't have too much government regulation. Come on. New labor laws to encourage union formation. This is a list from Jeff Stein in today's Washington Post, by the way, of the things that Bernie is running on and has run on. These are all things that are now parts of the normal conversation in the Democratic Party. Curbing corporate spending on elections, rolling back Citizens United or overturning it, paid family and medical leave, gender pay equality, increasing Social Security benefits, raising the cap and making Social Security solid. And a few of the new things that he didn't run on last time that he's running on this time, ending cash bail throughout the United States, legalizing marijuana throughout the United States, heavy taxation of wealthy estates, corporations and the richest 1%, and closing offshore tax havens. It's amazing stuff.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Whether Bernie wins or not, he has changed the conversation in this country for the better, in my opinion. And I'm very optimistic now going forward. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And boy, what an announcement. What a moment. We've got some great candidates running. Bernie just threw his hat into the ring. Just remarkable stuff. Let's see here. Tarek in Griffin, Georgia. Hey, Tarek, what's on your mind today?
I want to just say that I was recently supporting Elizabeth Warren so far because I didn't know Bernie Sanders was going to announce, but now that he has, I'm back on the Bernie Sanders train, and I've already, you know, sent him my $100 for his endorsement, and already within the first 4 hours, he's already went over $1 million. So, you know, I'm just waiting to see, you know, will the mainstream media catch on to see, like, you know, and they like ratings, and, you know, Bernie Sanders now seems to be the guy, and, you know, AOC seems to be the people that, you know, will get them ratings, so hopefully they'll give him some, or, you know, a fair chance when it comes to coverage and, you know, trying to give the people the real ideas that he stands behind, because he gets smeared a lot, which is unfortunate, and I'm a black guy and Griffin in the hood, and, you know, I can see the truth in Bernie Sanders, so hopefully he get a chance this time without the cheating.
I'm with you, Tarek. I absolutely agree. And hopefully the media will not, you know, black him out, you know, or whatever the appropriate phrase would be, ignore him, I guess, is what, you know, they did before. And the message, you know, and the message will get through. A lot of what I'm hearing is, well, yeah, he's running, but, you know, and it's like, okay, come on. Tarek, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. It's great to hear from you. Carol in Sheraton, Montana. Hey, Carol, what's up?
Yes, go Bernie, go.
There you go.
I called about them calling the free education socialism back when I graduated from high school in 1958, so that really dates me. High school, if you went to school in the state, you were not charged tuition at the universities except for private universities.
Yep.
And all you paid for was your books and your board and room. And as far as health care goes, it's a right, not a privilege.
It certainly should
Everybody pays for health care one way or another, and people are paying these god-awful insurance premiums are paying for it twice.
Yep, absolutely. Excellent points on free education and universal health care just being democracy. You are spot on, Carol. Thanks so much for the call, and thanks for watching Free Speech TV. Andrew, watching us on YouTube in Missoula, Montana. Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Well, mainly, I've been noticing a lot of the mainstream media and is focusing on all the other centrist Democrats who have shifted their position towards Bernie's position in order to, I believe, dilute his whole platform. And then I'm seeing headlines like, you know, is his voice really needed anymore because of what? They ignore AOC. She's only covered on Fox News, mostly. And the Justice Democrats, they never mention them. The people that are into getting money out of politics, they have no interest in that, the mainstream media.
Yeah.
So what do you think about these establishment Dems running? They're running as progressives, or they're running for the hills?
You know, there's a little bit of each, but and there are some parts of the country where, you know, being a Main Street Democrat or even being a Republican Democrat, you know, like Joe Manchin, actually gets you elected. Sure. And so if those people are occupying seats in Congress, even if they don't share my politics, if they are the people who make sure that Nancy Pelosi is a Democrat is the Speaker of the House, and, you know, after the election coming up in the United States Senate, that the Senate is in the control of the Democrats, I'm okay with that. I don't want, you know, I'm not into purity tests and purges. I really believe in the wisdom of the American people and the brilliance of the small D democratic process. And but you know, I think your larger point, Andrew, and I think you're absolutely right on this, is that the media in this country is, and has not been since the end of the Fairness Doctrine in 1987, is not an entirely neutral arbiter when it comes to issues that might be considered political, particularly issues that have to do with taxation and regulation that affect, ultimately, the bottom line of those mainstream corporations, or of those media corporations. They don't want progressives in office. Never have, never will. I mean, they're giant multi-billion dollar corporations. And so we all have to just, you know, pay attention to that. Andrew, thanks for the call. Jeff in Asheville, North Carolina, listening. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, since we all agree, your audience agrees that we need to replace Trump or get out the next Republican candidate, that's why, as a former Bernie supporter, I really hope that Marianne Williamson gets the nomination, because she doesn't have the baggage like Bernie has. I think she would be a better president. But I want to address the notion among a lot of liberals that she can't be qualified because she's never been an elected official. And Trump is proof of that. Trump is an aberration with no redeeming qualities, let alone a conscience. He's proof of nothing, okay? Marianne Williamson is a wonderful speaker, leader, has all the right priorities, and she's capable of learning along the way, just like every other president has to read and learn as you go. So I know how you feel about her. I've read so many of your books.
I love Marianne. I think she is spectacular. I think she'd make a spectacular president. She was on this program laying out a case when she first announced. We've invited her back. I hope she comes back on the program again. I think Marianne has got some really important things to say in this race. And I would counsel people that they underestimate her at their own peril. She's an extraordinary woman. She truly is. Jeff, I got to move on. Thank you for the call. Spot on. Steve in Park Ridge, Illinois. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I called in yesterday on my way to Federal Plaza in Chicago.
Yeah.
So
how'd it go?
Well, the weather was really cold, and we were standing in slush. But I thought it went quite well. The important thing is that the news media was there, and even though there were maybe 500 people in attendance, the TV cameras brought the message to the entire city, you know, that evening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. Chuy Garcia, a new U.S. House representative from the 4th District, who happens to have been born in Mexico, was kind of like the keynote speaker, and he called Trump's declaration a political ploy and power grab, which we all know it is. There were some immigrant advocates who also spoke, and like any of these rallies, it's a great way to, you know, recharge your own batteries. I'm a grassroots activist, as you're aware, and just to get out and talk to the people and feel like you're not alone. I really recommend it. I did post 5 pictures at my Facebook site, which I've mentioned once before, Concerned Citizen.
That's right.
If any listener is interested, I posted some pictures. I do want to tell you, Tom, that long ago when I first mentioned it, I think I was around 4,000 followers. It's now up to 26,000 followers. So
that's great.
Something good is happening there, but I applaud you for your continued work. And I'm going to hear you this Sunday at the Truman Dinner.
Yes.
I'm one of the attendees.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to seeing you there, Steve. And Steve, let me just share with you real quickly an email that I just got. I mean, I literally got this like 10, 15 minutes ago. I caught it during the break and just printed it out. It's from Donald Trump. And he says, Dear Fred, I just received a fundraising email from Nancy Pelosi where she said, quote, what is happening at our border is not remotely an emergency, end quote. Back to Trump's voice. It's clear that deep in her heart, she simply doesn't care about the safety and well-being of American citizens. Your security is at risk because of the crisis at our southern border, a major entry point for criminals, gang members, and illegal drugs. And did I mention brown people? I added that. Since Nancy has become Speaker of the House, she has done absolutely nothing but obstruct our progress. It's a total con job put on by the Democratic leadership. Let's make sure she hears the voice of everyday Americans by helping us crush our unprecedented goal of $2 million. Please make a special contribution by 9 p.m. Eastern Time to show that you want to finish the wall, and your donation will be instantly quadruple matched. You know, and then all these contribution amounts and, you know, sincerely Donald Trump. That's what's going on the other side, Steve. That's what
he is just, you know, a tyrant in the making. That's right out of a tyrant playbook.
It's grifter 101. I mean, you know, yeah, and tyrant 101 too. I'll give you that. I'll absolutely give you that. Steve, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Claude in Monroe, New York. Hey, Claude, what's up?
Hi, Professor. How you doing? I got my Feel the Burn shirt, took it out of the closet, and I got it hanging on the back of the chair, and I just wanted to call in to revel with you that Bernie has announced his candidacy. And we really owe it to you and your program, because you're the one that really made so many people conscious of Bernie. You kind of made him over the years. I used to listen to, you know, Brunch with Bernie for so many years. Love your show. I've read a number of your books. And even signed up for an ongoing donation to Free Speech TV the last time you were pushing on. I just wanted to say thank you. And keep up the good work, Professor.
Thank you, Claude, and thanks for the kind words. I do want to say, though, that Bernie made Bernie. I didn't make Bernie. You know, I mean, certainly we helped in some ways to let the country know about him and who he was and what he had to say. But
that's what I meant. I meant that you were one of the big people. I didn't know who Bernie was before I started listening to your show.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I meant. I realized Bernie... I even went to when he announced his candidacy up in Vermont 2 years ago. I actually drove there. It was like a 6-hour drive. My wife and I went, and we were there when he announced his candidacy. And I just love the guy.
Yeah, he's good. Claude, thanks a lot for the call and for your kind words and for watching the program. We'll be back. It's 45 minutes past the hour and a few seconds and change. We'll be back with more of your calls and the news of the day in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
By the way, you know that judge that Roger Stone tweeted out her picture yesterday or Instagrammed it or whatever, along with the crosshairs? He's got to speak before her at 2:30 today Eastern. And welcome back. Genevieve in Seattle is on KBCS. Hey, Genevieve, what's up?
Hello there.
Hi.
I was... very interested to hear Bernie announcing this morning, and I just wanted to really reiterate with gumption the importance of his single payer call out, which you know, resounded across the nation and which creates a pretty definitive bar for other Democratic wannabe presidential candidates. And I also would like to just throw out that I think that we might want to find some other nomenclature to add to single payer, something that might make it easier for those who aren't as well informed to know that our medical dollars are going to private insurance companies. And I think that the other side is able to throw us in the socialist camp and say, hey, you know, I want to choose my own doctor, blah, blah. I want to be independent of the government for my medical care. And so we definitely need to use better verbiage to explain in an elevator speech why we need to get the insurance companies out of our medical care, that insurance is not.
Don't you think
medicine.
A simple way to say it is just, you know, they're basically just bankers. You know, all they're doing is taking the money from us.
Yeah.
Skimming 20% off the top and putting it in their back pocket, and then using the remaining 80% to pay our medical bills. And by the way, the Medicare administration, the federal government, can do the same thing at the cost of 2% instead of 20%.
Right. I think that people don't have that great an impression of the Medicare system. Mm-hmm. We're guaranteed that the centrists and the right will be pounding their fists that they want to choose their own doctor. You know, some quick thing that reminds people, oh yes, oh dear, it would be a bureaucracy.
Mm.
So we need to somehow spin that the insurance companies are bureaucracy and that they're huge corporations. They're not cute little small businesses.
Yeah.
And I just think we're painted into the wrong corner. Need to figure that one out. And I just want to throw out that It's great to hear that Bernie is running today, at the same time as I heard yesterday that Jay Inslee, who from Washington State has thrown his hat in the ring, mm-hmm. and has also said, I think just yesterday, that he wants to support greater subsidies for our insurance, meaning hand more money to the private insurance companies. And so I'd just like to raise the alert for anyone interested in Jay Inslee that we, you know, that Bernie is going to help, and we will too, to move him toward single payer and whatever good words we've discovered to describe single payer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the going forward, Genevieve, the main thing that we need to avoid, and I've danced up to the edge of it in the last couple of days, and I'm going to try not to do that any longer, is any kind of circular firing squad, any kind of purity tests, because frankly, any Democrat right now we're facing an existential crisis. We're talking about the planet melting down. We're talking about the end of civilization as a possible positive outcome compared with the end of all life on Earth, you know? So anything, whatever it takes. Genevieve, thanks for the call. Whatever it takes to get the Republican Party that is owned by the fossil fuel industry out of power, both at the federal and the local level. If I had to vote for fill in the blank, I was going to say Beelzebub. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Yeah, maybe not there, but anyway, you get. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Just made a joke about voting for Beelzebub or however you say it, and Nate says no, he's running on the Republican ticket. Yeah. Oh, he's in the White House. Of course. How did I?
He dropped out. He's not evil enough to be a Republican.
Oh, he dropped out. He's not evil enough to be a Republican. Okay, great. Joy in Crescent City, California. Hey, Joy. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom, and thank you very much for taking my call. I just am so thrilled that Bernie has announced that he's running. I was the first organizer in Oakland to hold a potluck for him 4 years ago, and I got displaced out of Oakland due to the crazy real estate. And I'm up here in Crescent City now, but I'm still a strong Bernie supporter. And one of the reasons why I moved to Crescent City is because Bernie took Del Mar County in the 2016 primary. So I'm hoping we can duplicate that again up here in Del Norte. And I am just, it was Bernie's campaign that kept me positive after I got displaced. I got thrown out of my house in January of 2016. And literally watching his America commercial is what kept me going. And I am so glad that he's running again. And I made a joke on Facebook. My wardrobe just doubled. I can pull out all my Bernie t-shirts.
Okay, that's great. Joy, thank you. Thanks for the call and thanks for sharing that. Dave in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I'm thinking of what's called a radical left Democrat these days is nothing more than an FDR Democrat.
That's correct. Well, they called FDR a socialist, too, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's supposed to be radical left these days. I'm sorry. More than half the country voted him four times in.
Yep, yep.
So if this sounds familiar, I'm going to abbreviate this, but here's rights that he came up with: a right to a useful and remunerative job,
yep.
Right to enough adequate food and clothing, the right for every businessman to be free of monopolies, the right for every family to a decent home, the right to adequate medical care, the right to adequate protection from the fears of old age, and the right to a good education.
Yep.
Does that sound particularly radical?
Well, that was FDR's second Bill of Rights that he rolled out in, what was it, 44, as I recall? And never lived to see it pulled together. And frankly, it wasn't until Bernie Sanders ran for president that any other Democrat came along and said, you know, this stuff is still good.
Yeah. Well, I haven't lived to see it either.
Yeah.
And I'm 80.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much time I got left.
Well, hopefully we'll both see it. Well, I think change is in the air. You know, you can feel it,
yeah.
Dave. You can feel it.
Yeah. Anyway, that just doesn't seem all that radical to me because I grew up, the first thing I remember as a child was the death of FDR.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. my earliest memories are Eisenhower. And my earliest memories are my dad talking about how good it was that Eisenhower was working to promote unions. Because my dad, you know, worked in a tool and die shop that was a union shop. It was a closed shop.
Sure.
And he was all over FDR. Right. He was a Republican.
Yeah, and the GI Bill. I mean, he was all for the GI Bill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's how my dad went to college. I mean, he didn't graduate because mom got pregnant with me. But you know, he wanted to be a college professor, a history professor. You know, and I kind of interrupted that, I suppose. But you know, something.
I had a bunch of guys on the GI Bill that I went to college with. They were 24-year-old freshmen when I was an 18-year-old, and they blew me away. I mean, they moved the curve up, but quite a bit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Dave. I got to move along, but thank you for the call, and great to hear from you, Jeff in Warner Robins, Georgia. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I think I have the perfect running mate for Bernie.
Who's that?
Stacey Abrams from Georgia.
I think she would be spectacular.
I think so, too.
She has a lot of legislative experience. This is something most people who are not Georgians don't realize, was that not only was she elected to it was the Senate, right? It was the state Senate, Georgia State Senate. But she became the head of she was the speaker, right? She was kind of Nancy Pelosi's job. And, you know, she was a big deal. Yeah, she still is a big deal, obviously, but she's not in office right now. And Stacey Abrams has a huge political future. I mean, that woman is going someplace. And she broke the curse, by the way. She gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union address and came off, you know, sounding brilliant, looking great, sounding great. Stacey Abrams is a rock star, in my opinion. Jeff, thank you. That's very well said. Dixie in Lebanon, Tennessee. Hey, Dixie, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Love your show, and I just wanted to say that I am so thrilled that Bernie has announced today. I immediately went and donated, dug out my shirt, and now I'm in Tennessee, of course. I have to fight with all the red people around here, is a good way to put it, all these Trump people.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lone ranger down here by myself. But anyway, there's a bunch of Bernie lovers because I am near Nashville, thank goodness. Yeah. It's a big Bernie.
Well, even in the rural areas, I mean, let's not forget, Bernie carried West Virginia by 25 points or something like that in the primary. I mean, you know.
I'm hoping that he will get to come to Tennessee to bring out all the people here, because I think a lot of people are just afraid. Frankly, I drive around with my Bernie stickers very proud still to this day.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are really nervous because there's a lot of redness around here. But I'm just so thrilled he's running. I cannot believe it. And I believe that there's hope for us now, because the main threat to our world is climate change. And Bernie says that's the greatest threat. And he's just trying to save us all from ourselves. That's all.
Yep. And a fine thing it is. Dixie, thank you for the call. And thank you for your passion and your sentiment. It's great to hear from you. And thank you for watching us on Free Speech TV. We have scheduled a debate with a conservative at the top of the next hour. We'll see if he shows up. If not, I have some further thoughts to share with you. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.